Tools of Environmental Science. Section 2. Statistics and Models. Environmental science provides a lot of data that need to be organized and interpreted before they are useful. Statistics is the collection and classification of data that are in the form of numbers. People commonly use the term statistics to describe numbers, such as the batting record of a baseball player. Sports writers also use the methods of statistics to translate a player's batting record over many games into a batting average, which allows people to easily compare the batting records of different players. How scientists use statistics. Scientists are also interested in comparing things, but scientists use statistics for a wide range of purposes. Scientists rely on and use statistics to summarize, characterize, analyze, and compare data. Statistics is actually a branch of mathematics that provides scientists with important tools for analyzing and understanding their data. Consider the experiment in which students studied mussels to see if the mussels were harmed by fertilizer in their water. Students collected data on mussel length and phosphate levels during this experiment. Some mussels in the control group grew more than some mussels in the experimental group, yet some grew less. How could the students turn this data into meaningful numbers? Statistics works with populations. Scientists use statistics to describe statistical populations. A statistical population is a group of similar things that a scientist is interested in learning about. For example, the dwarf wedge mussels shown in Figure 8 are part of the population of all dwarf wedge mussels on the Ashuelit River. What is the average? Although statistical populations are composed of similar individuals, these individuals often have different characteristics. For example, in the population of students in your classroom, each student has a different height, weight, and so on. The Keene High School students measured the lengths of dwarf wedge mussels in a population, as shown in Figure 8. They added the lengths of the mussels and then divided by the number of mussels. This gave the average length of the mussels, which in statistical terms is called the mean. The mean is the number obtained by adding the data for a characteristic and dividing this sum by the number of individuals. The mean provides a single measure for a given characteristic of a population. Scientists can compare different populations by comparing their means. The mean length of the mussels in Figure 9 is about 30 millimeters. The distribution. The bar graph in Figure 9 shows the lengths of dwarf wedge mussels in a population. The pattern that the bars create when viewed as a whole is called the distribution. A distribution is the relative arrangement of the members of a statistical population. In Figure 9, the lengths of the individuals are arranged between 15 and 50 millimeters. The overall shape of the bars, which rise to form a hump in the middle of the graph, is also part of the distribution. The line connecting the tops of the bars in Figure 9 forms the shape of a bell. The graphs of many characteristics of populations, such as the heights of people, form bell-shaped curves. A bell-shaped curve indicates a normal distribution. In a normal distribution, the data are grouped symmetrically around the mean. What is the probability? The chance that something will happen is called probability. For example, if you toss a penny, what is the probability that it will come up heads? Most people would say half and half, and they would be right. The chance of a tossed penny coming up heads is one half, which can also be expressed as 0.5 or 50%. In fact, probability is usually expressed as a number between 0 and 1, and written as a decimal rather than as a fraction. Suppose the penny comes up heads 7 out of 10 times. Does this result prove that the probability of a penny coming up heads is 0.7? No, it does not. So what is the problem? The problem is that the sample size, the number of objects or events sampled, is too small to yield an accurate result. In statistics, a sample is a group of individuals or events selected to represent the population. If you toss a penny 10 times, your sample size is 10. If you continue tossing 1,000 times, you're almost certain to get about 50% heads and 50% tails. In this example, the sample is the number of coin tosses you make, while the population is the total number of coin tosses possible. Scientists try to make sure that the samples they take are large enough to give an accurate estimate for the whole population. Statistics in everyday life. You have probably heard there is a 50% chance of rain today. Figure 10 shows an example of a natural event that we often associate with probability, a thunderstorm. You encounter statistics often and use them more than you may think. People are constantly trying to determine the chance of something happening. A guess or gut instinct is probably just an unconscious sense of probability. Understanding the news. The news contains statistics every day, even if they are not obvious. For example, a reporter may say, "A study shows that forest fires increased air pollution in the city last year." We could ask many statistical questions about this news item. We might first ask what the average amount of air pollution in the city is. We could gather data on air pollution levels over the past 20 years and graph them. Then we could calculate the mean and ask ourselves how different last year's data are from the average. We might graph the data and look at the distribution. Do this year's pollution levels seem unusually high compared to levels in other years? Recognizing and paying attention to statistics will make you a better consumer of information, including information about the environment. Thinking about risk. In scientific terms, risk is the probability of an unwanted outcome. For example, if you have a 1 in 4 chance of failing a class, the risk of failing is 1/4 or 0.25. Figure 11 shows a well-publicized environmental problem, oil spills. But as you can see in the pie graph, the risk of pollution from large oil spills is much smaller than the risk of oil pollution from everyday sources. The most important risk we consider is the risk of death. Most people overestimate the risk of dying from sensational causes, such as terrorism, and underestimate the risk from common causes, such as smoking. Likewise, most citizens overestimate the risk of sensational environmental problems and underestimate the risk of ordinary ones, as shown in Table 2. Models. You are probably already familiar with models. Museums have models of ships, dinosaurs, and atoms. Architects build models of buildings. Even crash test dummies are models. Models are representations of objects or systems. Although people usually think of models as things they can touch, scientists use several different types of models to help them learn about our environment. Physical models. All of the models mentioned above are physical models. Physical models are three-dimensional models you can touch. Their most important feature is that they closely resemble the object or system they represent, although they may be larger or smaller. One of the most famous physical models was used to discover the structure of DNA. The two scientists who built the structural model of DNA knew information about the size, shape, and bonding qualities of the subunits of DNA. With this knowledge, the scientists created model pieces that resembled the subunits and the bonds between them. These pieces helped them figure out the possible structures of DNA. Discovering the structure of DNA furthered other research that helped scientists understand how DNA replicates in a living cell. Figure 12 shows a modern model of a DNA molecule. The most useful models teach scientists something new and help to further other discoveries. Graphical models. Maps and charts are the most common examples of graphical models. Showing someone a roadmap is easier than telling him or her how to get somewhere. An example of a graphical model is the map of the Denver, Colorado area in Figure 13. Scientists use graphical models to show things such as the positions of the stars, the amount of forest cover in a given area, and the depth of water in a river or along a coast. Conceptual models. A conceptual model is a verbal or graphical explanation of how a system works or is organized. A flowchart diagram is an example of a type of conceptual model. A flowchart uses boxes linked by arrows to illustrate what a system contains and how those contents are organized. Consider this example. Suppose that a scientist wants to know how mercury, a poisonous metal, moves through the environment to reach people after the mercury is released from burning coal. The scientist would use an understanding of mercury in the environment to build a conceptual model, as shown in Figure 14. Scientists often create such diagrams to help them understand how a system works, what components the system contains, how they are arranged, and how they affect one another. Conceptual models are not always diagrams. They can also be verbal descriptions or even drawings of how something works or is put together. For example, the model of an atom as a large ball circled by smaller balls is a conceptual model of the structure of an atom. As this example shows, an actual model can be more than one type. An atomic model made of plastic balls is both a conceptual model and a physical model. Mathematical models. A mathematical model is one or more equations that represents the way a system or process works. You can represent many common situations using math models. For example, suppose that the grapes in a fruit basket at home are getting moldy. You notice that every day the mold covers two more grapes. Here is a mathematical model for the number of moldy grapes on Tuesday. M Tuesday equals M Monday plus 2, where M equals number of moldy grapes. Mathematical models are especially useful in cases with many variables, such as the many things that affect the weather. Because mathematical models use numbers and equations, people may think the models are always right. But weather models, for example, sometimes predict rain on dry days. In fact, people are the ones who interpret data and write the equations. If the data or the equations are wrong, the model will not be realistic and so will provide incorrect information. Like all models, mathematical models are only as good as the data that went into building them. People may think of mathematical models as being confined to blackboards and paper, but scientists can use the models to create amazing, useful images. Look at the image of the San Francisco Bay Area in Figure 15. This is a false-color digital satellite image. The satellite measures energy reflected from the Earth's surface. Scientists use mathematical models to relate the amount of energy reflected from objects to the object's physical condition. Well, we've reached the end of this section. Before moving on, take some time to demonstrate what you've learned by answering the review questions.